Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Into the 9 o'clock hour we go. DeAndre Hopkins tweeted something yesterday and then deleted it shortly thereafter. He tweeted this. I see I can't say, he means say here. He goes, I see I can't say anything on Twitter without my bitter ex-girlfriend thinking it's about her. And then with the laughing, crying emojis. So again, I see I can't say anything on Twitter without my bitter ex-girlfriend thinking it's about her. Now he typed, I see I can't see anything on Twitter. But what he meant to say was, I see I can't say anything on Twitter without my bitter ex-girlfriend thinking it's about her. I don't think DeAndre Hopkins necessarily has a literal bitter ex-girlfriend. I think he's talking about his former employer, the Houston NFL Holdings LLC, i.e. the Houston Texans.
Which has been, I guess the only one I knew about was that he had tweeted out grateful the night that the Texans got shellacked by the Chiefs. I don't know if our listening audience remembers that.
Yeah.
Or not. It was last Thursday. The Chiefs put one on the Texans. And DeAndre Hopkins afterwards, or maybe in the fourth quarter or so, tweeted out grateful. Some people said that he was merely talking about his appearance on Jimmy Fallon's show, and that's why he was grateful. I don't know. I think...
that would seem overly dramatic to tweet just the word grateful. Not grateful for Jimmy Fallon having me on the show. Just tweeting the word grateful and then having everybody supposed to read into that to think it's some appearance on the Jimmy Fallon show.
Yeah, of all the, is there somewhere in DeAndre Hopkins' mind that thinks that people are watching the Jimmy Fallon show and thinking that's the only thing they're thinking about DeAndre Hopkins at that point? Wow, he's grateful. There's nothing else in his life he'd be grateful for right this moment, right? It's mostly the Jimmy Fallon thing.
He did get paid. I mean, there's 27 million reasons a year coming up in a couple of years here that he should be grateful.
But the timing of it.
Yeah, of course. I'm just trying to think of reasons, the blessings that he has in his life where he would just randomly be grateful at 11:15 on a night where the Texans just got beat by 14 points in Kansas City on television. I guess my question would be, Seth, you bring up that grateful tweet, this tweet, which he, by the way, deleted shortly after. Who's the bitter ex-girlfriend in this whole thing? Are the Texans really initiating anything with DeAndre Hopkins? Have they said a word about him since he left?
Well... they haven't, but I would imagine there's but every time he tweets something like that, I'm guessing he's got all kinds of Texans fans up in his mentions saying like either that or even people will write a story about it, and then just in DeAndre's mind, that's the Houston fan base talking about it and how they are. So I think it's fair, and I think that's probably accurate. Now, a little bit of there is that you always have to be careful because you never want to be like that person that shows up on the Maury Povich show. And it's like, hey, you thought I was fat in high school, but now I'm hot and look at me. And the guy that she's like trying to embarrass is kind of like, oh, yeah, whatever. You still annoy me. Right. Like that's a risk you run when you try to dunk on someone. They're like, all right, whatever. Now, that's not going to happen here. As long as DeAndre keeps putting performances up like he did on Sunday, then I think that he can kind of dunk on the Texans organization all he wants, especially if the Texans organization doesn't get their act in gear.
Well, of course. Yeah, there's going to be – yeah, the Texans are in line to have plenty more performances here in the next few weeks where DeAndre Hopkins will randomly be tweeting the word grateful out just so happens right after the game is over. Why did he delete this? I'm reading this.
Probably because of the typo. The typo. Sean, there's nothing worse.
You think he deleted it because of a typo?
Yes. Because I've been there before. Sometimes you craft what you think is the perfect tweet, and you put it out there, and immediately you look at it, and you notice, like, oh, crap, there's a typo. I might have to delete this. I'm internally conflicted over a few weeks ago. Do you remember when Jake Mariznick ran into the wall up there at the Mets?
Yeah.
And there was a still frame image of him basically like pressed up against the wall, looking like Han Solo in Empire Strikes Back when he was frozen in carbonite.
Right.
I made a joke about him, about Mariznick being frozen in carbonite, and it autocorrected to carbonate. I don't even know what the hell that is, but it autocorrected to carbonate, some actual substance, and it's driving me insane that that's still out there.
You know what my phone does? My phone autocorrects. It's really annoying. Is it corrects the word talk to y'all. It corrects, my phone is a hick, basically, is what it is. Like, my phone is a redneck hick. It corrects the word talk to y'all, and it does it all the time. I'm going to screen cap that so I can prove to people that it's the case.
So I need to have a y'all with y'all.
Yes!
Is what it'll say.
Yes!
If you're trying to write, I want to have a talk with y'all, it's going to say, I want to have a y'all with y'all. But it sounds more like a group sex thing.
And let me tell you right now that, let me tell my phone this as well, that it is not, the word that I'm about to, I can't say on the air, please stop correcting it to ducking. It's not ducking. Please stop correcting that word. I curse a lot, and I curse in texts. Please stop correcting that particular word to ducking. It is forcing me to go back and retype it many times. And I say that word probably a lot more than I should because I'm very graphic and descriptive. And a lot of people piss me off.
Yeah. Autocorrect's an idiot, man. Now, that's like an intentional thing they do, I suppose. Like, they think they're holier than thou. They're better than you. They're going to be like, oh, try using non-swear words, little fella.
Right.
But sometimes, like, it'll correct your to your, the wrong one. Like, you'll use Y-O-U apostrophe R-E, and it'll change it to your for God knows what reason. Like, it doesn't make any sense within the syntax. Autocorrect's a moron, man. I don't care, like,
don't know.
Incredible it is that it does. What's that?
I don't know. Seth, you say autocorrect is a moron, but let me tell you that there was one time where autocorrect corrected Jeter to heterosexual. Yeah. Which is about as in line as it gets. Like, I don't know that there's anybody more heterosexual than Derek Jeter.
I didn't say it wasn't horny. I said it was a moron.
Got you. Okay.
It's obviously horny for Jeter.
Yeah.
I think that, but it's an idiot. It's an idiot given what it's capable of doing. I say the same thing about my Roomba at times. Like, it's incredible. The feats of technology, this thing. But sometimes it acts like the dumbest machine on earth. It acts like it might as well be like a 1940 washing machine or something, this stupid Roomba.
Now, for those who don't know, is the Roomba the little circular vacuum cleaner thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
gotcha. Not everybody
has one. It's
incredible
what it can do. Yeah. Sometimes it's incredible how stupid it is sometimes.
Yeah, we have one too. There's so many times it gets backed into a corner and won't leave. It just sits there. It's like vacuuming.
Everybody has one, but everybody, most people know what a Roomba is, Sean.
Do they?
That fantastic. Yeah, it's been big. There have been a lot of articles written about the Roomba. Okay. Sean, just because somebody doesn't have something doesn't mean they don't know about it.
Okay.
It's you don't live in some magical tower above all of us, like a little
I actually do live
here,
in a pretty magical tower. the building I live in is fairly magical, yes.
No, but the other thing, this is what, it's sometimes what autocorrect doesn't do. Because you remember the radio host in Denver who's not one to, like, be a shock jock or anything at all. But he's in Denver, and one night he was tweeting about the Nuggets. And he accidentally, if you look at your keyboard, it's very possible to try to be hastily writing in the word Nuggets. And with a couple of misplaced thumb strokes, it turns into the plural version of a racial slur.
Right.
And he tweeted it out.
Oh, boy.
And it wasn't anything like there's no way you could ever accuse him of even if he was the biggest racist in the world, like, it didn't make any sense for him to use that there. But it sounded like he was calling the basketball team this racial slur. Like, how the hell can autocorrect correct your use of the F word,
right,
but it doesn't have some automatic setting to like be like, hey, maybe don't be an abject racist in this instance.
Right.
Like, hey,
phone should have something
maybe
that pops
just don't
up.
Use the N word.
It should have something that literally pops up out of the phone and punches you in the forehead. Like, dude,
it should.
Correct. You're gonna end your career. Correct it. Correct it.
At the very least, to like do the face scan to see if you're Caucasian or not.
Right.
You're like, oh, okay, no, it's cool. It's a black guy. We'll let this one go. I'm like this room of nerds back in Seattle, Washington, wherever Apple is in California, yeah, there. Basically, yeah, like looking at your face scan. Like, oh no, that's, dude, that guy's as white as a sheet. Don't let him use the N-word like that.
Yeah. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday. Darren Revelle is going to jump in with us at the bottom of the hour from the Action Network. Seth, the other thing, we were talking earlier about the game between the Ravens and the Texans last year. And I guess the other thing to keep in mind in that game, one, now, if he plays like he did against the Chiefs, then maybe it doesn't matter. Titus Howard played in that game, but he went on the injured reserve list the very next game. He was coming back from a knee injury. He was hobbled in that game and did not play well in that game. And we saw a lot of Chris Clark in that game. There was no Will Fuller in that game either. We know what happened when Will Fuller was out last year, how things looked. Big thing is no J.J. Watt in that game last year with the with the Ravens. Not, look, are all those those things add up to making up for a 34-point deficit? No, and I'm obviously DeAndre Hopkins did play in that game.
Read the whole list, too, was, I don't, so look, there's room for improvement over last week. This is a hell of a tough slate. I'm not going to sit here and make excuses for anybody, and I know that Bill O'Brien isn't doing this. I will say what I keep telling myself more than anybody else is like, all right, this is probably the worst three-game slate to start a season with that I've ever seen, especially when you're trying to work new offensive pieces into it. It doesn't mean like all of a sudden I'm going to, you know, start sending boxes of chocolate over to Bill O'Brien or anything, but I'm trying to maintain perspective and say, even if they don't win this week, there's ways that they can improve in pass protection, in coverage, the pass rush itself. If I see improvement in some of these, I'll start to feel like, all right, this season, you can do something with this season.
Seth, there's a chance that, look, if it goes badly this Sunday, which it could, and Pittsburgh does what I think a lot of people think they might do to, I think they play Denver this week. Pittsburgh does at home, and Denver's coming off a late Monday night game. Well, Pittsburgh, of course, played in the early Monday night game, so maybe I don't want to go too deep into analyzing that game, but if Pittsburgh looks good this week and the Texans look bad, the Texans could be a touchdown underdog their first three games of the year. They were an 8.5, 9.5-point dog to Kansas City. They're hovering around a touchdown underdog right now to the Ravens. I don't think it's going to move off of a touchdown, put it that way. And then they could be a touchdown underdog in Pittsburgh next week if it looks bad at NRG Stadium Sunday and the Steelers look good again this week. I don't know that there's ever been a team that aspires to be, all teams aspire to be good. I don't know that there's ever been a team where they've been a touchdown underdog their first three games and the season has wound up going well. You know what I mean? Usually teams that are touchdown underdogs early in the season, whether even if it is three good teams, is usually not a very good football team.
Well, it's going to be, at some point, if you're a good team, you're at least playing close games to those teams.
Right.
If you go these three games and you don't put up a fight with any of them, then yeah, there's no way in hell we should think that somehow they're a good team. So this is a critical moment here. You've got a three game sample versus good teams. If they put up a fight, and like, I'm not lowering expectations or anything. I'm just trying to be realistic about where they are right now as they try to incorporate some of these new pieces. If it's a competitive game, I'm going to feel a whole lot better about it. I'm not going to have a ticker tape parade for him or anything, but I'm not going to feel as miserable as I did right after that Kansas City game. By the way, one of our listeners says, Seth, autocorrect is learning constantly. It's a learning machine. It will figure it out after 6 months. Look, I'm no historian, but I'm pretty sure the F word has been around for a lot longer than 6 months.
I've been using it for longer than 6 months. I know that.
Yeah, as has your and your, and like the apostrophized version and the other one. Like that. No. This 6 months nonsense isn't going to cut it. I would hope you're being sarcastic when you tell me about this learning machine nonsense.
Be better, autocorrect. Be better. Stop changing talk to y'all and stop changing that other word to ducking. Just do that for me. You're halfway there to redemption. Bill O'Brien had a couple of very strange answers to questions that people have been wondering about week one at his press conference. Yes, what's so funny?
The N-word stuff is fascinating. One of our listeners, who's a black guy, says that he can barely type the N-word without it changing on its own.
Really?
So I feel like, is Apple trying to sow the seeds of discontent? Like, if a white guy tries to type something that isn't the N-word, if you try to type nuggets and you accidentally write the N-word, it's like, it's allowing it to stay the N-word. But meanwhile, we have black guys who are, like, getting it auto-corrected when they're trying to use it. legitimately. Yeah, I don't get it.
I don't think autocorrect is as dumb as you think it is. I think it could just be the greatest troll of all time is what it could be. All right.
Maybe that's why things are going so marvelously in this country right now.
Strange answers from Bill O'Brien yesterday on a couple of things. Darren Revelle, bottom of the hour. We get to all of it next. Stay there. So, Seth, you and I were talking earlier this week, might have been yesterday, about Lonnie Johnson. And Lonnie Johnson, it seemed like, didn't really play much in the first half of that game against the Chiefs, which was odd because he was running with the ones for nearly all of training camp. Very clearly, he and Bradley Roby were the two guys on the outside. And yet in the game against the Chiefs, Vernon Hargraves was running with the ones on the outside as an outside corner.
In the first half.
In the first half, which is weird. Yeah, because look, if Lonnie Johnson didn't play or played a couple of snaps and then, you know, backed out and then it's Vernon Hargraves the rest of the way, then you would go, okay, well, I guess Lonnie was just banged up. But Vernon Hargraves played the first half, did not play well, and then Lonnie Johnson plays for most of the second half, winds up playing, I think, 42% of the snaps in the game, which was really, really strange. Bill O'Brien was asked about his substitution patterns in the secondary against the Chiefs, actually asked by Brandon Scott, who is our Texans reporter here at Sports Radio 610.
Yeah, no, there were some injuries involved there, Brandon, so we felt like that was the best lineup for that week. You know, I feel like we're healthier this week. Don't really want to get into all the specifics there, but, you know, it's obviously, you know, week to week for us. You know, okay, how do we want to play the Chiefs based on, you know, scheme, but also where these guys are health-wise, and then, you know, how do we want to play the Ravens based on scheme and where these guys are health-wise? Feel like we're healthier. Feel like we're healthier in the secondary. So, you know, just take that for what it means. I'm sure you'll figure that out. But yeah, we'll be week to week pretty much the whole year when it comes to the secondary.
Okay,
I felt a lot of pressure when he said, "You'll figure that out."
Yeah,
like, okay. I don't feel like I'm going to.
No, he's having some weird answers lately. Yeah, I'm the same way. I'm like, okay, is this one of those breadcrumbs that he drops for us from time to time where we're to read into things? You know, that it's more than what it looks like, or is this a breadcrumb where it's exactly what it looks like? I have no idea. Seth, I'm 100% with you. Let's just take it at its surface level, okay? Let's not try to read into anything. Let's pretend these are all injury and football reasons. Lonnie Johnson wound up playing a decent number of snaps in that game, which leads me to the fact that, okay, maybe he was banged up, but he wasn't banged up to the point where you couldn't play him. He played half the game.
And he wasn't on the injury report, right?
No, he wasn't.
Yeah.
And so let's just take it as football reasons then. In what world is Vernon Hargraves a better option than Lonnie Johnson? Not that Lonnie Johnson is a Pro Bowl or anything, but Vernon Hargraves sure as hell isn't, and he sure as hell isn't playing on the outside against Sammy Watkins and wide receivers that are getting thrown to by Patrick Mahomes. In what world does it make sense to put Vernon Hargraves for football reasons on the outside and sit Lonnie Johnson for the first half?
Well, and I guess, okay, especially because of the disparity of playing in the first half or the second half. A lot of people were wondering, and I think it was fair to wonder, was this a disciplinary measure of some sort? Because why would the guy who's been starting in training camp the whole time end up not playing in the first half but then play the whole second half? And when I watched him in the second half, once the All-22 finally came out, I'm going to say this. I think he's made improvements. When I watched the Ravens game last year, Lonnie Johnson could not stop grabbing people. That was his go-to move.
Oh, yeah.
You know, as soon as the wide receiver broke down, Lonnie Johnson would have him around the waist. I mean, he could have been flagged for defensive holding or illegal contact a whole bunch of times in that game versus the Ravens last year. I'm guessing the officials just figured like, it's not going to make a difference anyway. These guys are getting killed. He looked better Thursday night. Sammy Watkins had one reception against him where Sammy Watkins ran a hell of a route, it was a little rub route action, and Sammy Watkins came in and out, got away from Lonnie Johnson. But Lonnie rallied, and instead of grabbing onto him, rallied, had the right leverage, forced him out of bounds to keep it from being a huge gain. You know, he did like what a professional cornerback should do. So I think that, and then, you know, by the fourth quarter, everything was out of hand and you can't take too much from that. But when the game was still contested, I was okay with the way Lonnie Johnson was playing. So I didn't see anything in Lonnie Johnson's play on Thursday that suggested to me, yeah, boy, Vernon Hargreaves was definitely the better option to go with.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out what O'Brien wants us to figure out. You're right. This is stressful.
Well, okay, now maybe what he wanted us to figure out was, look, he's not on the injury report, but we don't feel really good about where he's going to be. But I can't tell you that, right? Because we should have put him on the injury report. I don't know. I can't figure it out.
Seth, he was getting treated like a frontline cornerback all at training camp. He was a fixture. I was there every practice. He was a fixture to the point where Gary and Conley, the guy that you traded a third-round pick for, who was thought to be one of the two outside corners for you, a lock to be a starter this year, granted banged up, but a lock, did not shift off of being on the second team for most of camp. Like, Lonnie Johnson was entrenched as the number one, and then he doesn't play basically in the first half of the opener. It's just weird.
Bizarre. You know what? Sometimes this is what happens, Sean, too. Coaches get in trouble with this. They assume that you're getting the message as the player when you're definitely not getting the message. Like, sometimes a coach will get up in front of the group and he'll yell and scream at them, and he'll think that the guys that were supposed to get the message did, and they didn't. It was like, usually what happens in those situations is, like, your actual conscientious players think that the coach is talking about them. Meanwhile, the one jackass that the coach is actually yelling at is just thinking about tacos or something.
I feel like I feel like at certain points on certain teams you were on, that I don't feel like you were ever the guy who was the target of the subliminal message, but I feel like you would have reached a certain point in the season with your frustration level where you would have walked over to the person who's not smart enough to know it's them who's getting the message or supposed to get the message and telling them, hey, he's talking to you, you dullard.
Yeah, sometimes when coaches get really desperate, I think they're almost hoping that you're going to code red the guy. Like, they're figuring, like, look, I'm not legally allowed to hit him. Could you guys do this for me? Could we do something to beat some sense into this guy? Because it's not getting through.
Here was the other strange Bill O'Brien answer from the press conference yesterday when he was asked about tempo in the game and urgency in the game against the Chiefs on Thursday.
Bill, when you guys were down in the fourth quarter, a lot of time was coming off the clock between plays. Would you like to play faster in a situation like that? You kind of talk about just the tempo of your offense. Does it change from game to game, or do you like it to be consistent?
I thought our pace was pretty good in the fourth quarter. I mean, we're trying to, you know, we got to get the play in and get the play communicated, and I think we scored a couple touchdowns. Really the game last week came down to the end of the half and the beginning of the third. That's where the game, you know, we had a chance to go down there and hit a field goal. We handled that pretty well until the end of the drive at the end of the half. And then they got the ball and they went down and scored and then kicked the field goal. And then they came out and scored touchdown in the first drive of the second half. That's, you know, where you can double up on scores at the end of the half and the beginning of the second half. We've got to just do a better job of that. You know, I thought our pace was pretty good, you know, throughout the game.
Okay, Seth, if Bill O'Brien were an analyst at ESPN sitting in the studio, you know, on Countdown or something, and they asked him, hey, Bill, tell us what went down in the Texans game here. Where did that game get lost for the Texans? His answer would have been the right one. I do feel like that's where the game was lost, where there was that 6-point swing right before the half, and then the Chiefs get the ball to start the second half, and boom, you're down 24-7, and the game is over. So his analysis, I think, is right about that's when the game was lost, but he doesn't sound like a head coach in that cut. You know what I mean?
Well, that's almost afterwards. It doesn't explain why it looked like you had a plodding, methodical pace in the fourth quarter.
Right.
That, because to say it like that in that context, it almost sounds like, well, we're down 24-7 in the third quarter. How are you going to come back from that anyway? Like, why would we go up tempo? Because if you look, and I think the answer, why would you go up tempo, is that when the Texans got the ball at the end of the third quarter, they were down 24-7. That is not an insurmountable lead when you have a quarterback like Deshaun Watson. We saw last year the Chiefs did a magnificent job coming back very quickly from a 24-0 deficit.
Yeah.
So the problem is this. When you got the ball at the end of the third quarter, there were 1 minute and 12 seconds left, and you were on your own 5-yard line. So you're going to have to drive 95 yards. At that point, a methodical drive of 95 yards is probably going to take a long time, and you're really not going to have
it.
So,
yeah,
if it's successful, most likely you're not going to have enough daylight left to actually get this comeback? Because you got to also account for the fact that the Chiefs will probably score another touchdown or at least a field goal. So that's where it felt like the classic, well, this game's over, so let's just make the box score look better. Let's be able to say that, well, we're moving the ball. And that's ultimately what they got, right? The box score looked fantastic. Deshaun ends up with more passing yards than Pat Mahomes. Yeah. Must have been a successful day.
Seth, I don't want to say I would encourage people to go back and watch. I don't want to encourage anybody to go back and watch that game because it was a debacle. But to me, just the end of the third quarter with Deshaun and watching it again last night, and he's coming up to the line. There's 25 seconds left and the clock's running and he's just walking around and gesturing and looking at the sideline. And then the clock runs out at the end of the third quarter.
Yeah, and you're talking about like, okay, how many plays do you have left in this football game to overcome a 24-7 deficit? They take the ball at their own 5-yard line with a minute and 12 seconds left on the clock. They have a 5-yard run, great. Then you convert, get pushed out of bounds, awesome, right?
Yeah,
the first down.
He got pushed. Deshaun got pushed out of bounds, but the clock keeps running in the third quarter. Yeah,
right. And that was it. They ran two plays with a minute and 12 seconds. Like when you need to mount a comeback and score several times, they ran two plays. Like, and I don't mean to be. Feels kind of weird to be complaining about not running enough plays at the end of a quarter, but I'm doing that. Like it was just, that's not the pace. Running two plays in 1 minute and 12 seconds, especially when you have a short clock style. Like, no, that's not what you do.
That's exactly right. Darren Revell, Action Network, will join us next. We'll take a look back and a look ahead. We'll look back at week one, but a look ahead at week two. Who are some of the picks to get on this weekend? Well, let's make some money together with Darren Revell next. Texans Ravens 3:25 kick on Sunday here on Sports Radio 610. The Texans play here 12:25. Seth Payne and I will have the pregame show for you, Texans Countdown, and then Clint Sterner and I will be handling postgame duties on Sunday. Hopefully the Texans can get on a winning track. Of course, they lose to the Chiefs this past Thursday. Actually, a little gambling angle with that one. We want to get into some gambling angles, some business of sports stuff, as we do each and every week at this time with our good friend Darren Revell, who joins us from the Action Network. Download the free Action Network app, which I would imagine is getting a ton of downloads now that football is here. Darren, it's great to talk to you as always. How about that field goal right towards the end that a lot of people thought was very meaningless in the Texans game? Unless you are a downloader of the Action Network app, you knew that field goal by the Chiefs probably either made or destroyed a lot of people's bankrolls early in the season.
Yeah, I just want to know when Al Michaels could overtly talk about gambling.
Yes!
Like that interchange with Chris Collins versus he's like, and, you know, it's there's a number going on right here. You know, it's like, Jesus. You know, like come on now. Come on now.
Well, especially because of the age we live in now, Darren, where, you know, finally ESPN on, you know, college game day, you know, it's one thing on the NFL, even on college broadcasts, where that's still supposed to be the holier than thou, the kids, the student athletes.
We have to stop these inconsistencies. It's got to stop. And there's no reason not to open it up. And I know to start the season, NBC's basically telling Al, like, you know, no, like you still can't do it. So it doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, is there even any objection by the NFL to that anymore? I mean, they've got a
team
in Las Vegas. Okay.
There is. Yeah, they're still holding on to that, you know? They are still holding on to that.
Is it that because they've got this team in Las Vegas, do they feel like now we've got to really be sure that we just go by the letter of the law and try to make it look like the nobody gambles or something?
I don't know. Who cares? There's enough deals that are being done. I mean, the Colts are doing their third deal with a sports book today. So it's like, you know, okay, enough.
Yeah.
Like, let's, you know, and originally the NFL was the one that made up the bogus number. Like, we will acknowledge it when the majority of America is legal. Okay. But how do you determine the majority? Is that by population? Is that by 26 states? Is it legal or does that have to be operational? Cause we're at like 22 states now. So I don't know. And by the way, that didn't cost me anything, but I had a live under for the Pittsburgh Giants game of 41.5. And it hit 42 at the end. So
Hey, where do you come out on the Monday night doubleheader, Darren? Seth and I kind of we're on opposite ends of this. I enjoy the Monday night doubleheader to the point where I think they should do it more often than just the first week. Where do you come out on that?
No, I didn't like it.
Okay.
I mean, listen, I'm on the East Coast, man, and I was struggling.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, because I gotta be alive and be like on Twitter, and you know, and I was really, you know. That's a 1:30 bedtime.
Why did they do it? Why do they do it in week one? Why is that the only week that they do a doubleheader on Monday night? Do you know?
Makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
Okay. It makes no sense to me.
I think that's a little bit of just that, hey, we're fresh out of the gate, lots of excitement. You try to sustain that over the course of a season, and people are gonna just check out on it. I suppose you're amped up at that point, which I'll tell you honestly. I'm not ready for the season to begin because it didn't occur to me until right this moment as you were talking about these primetime games that the Bengals and the Browns do play tonight on Thursday Night Football already.
You know what? We're having a lot of those surprises. You know, like it's like, all right, so the Bengals and Browns play on Thursday Night Football. Now it's the first round of the U.S. Open. Yeah. You know, it's really messed up. Our website traffic and our app is going insane, like more than we ever thought, because I think people just want to get back into it and kind of shake themselves up and have a little fun.
I feel like this, you know, this Bengals-Browns matchup has more juice to it just from a psychological and emotional standpoint than I ever would have expected, just by virtue of the quarterbacks alone, I think. And Joe Burrow, and what does he do early in a season versus Baker Mayfield, who is just so much different right now than he was regarded 2 years ago. Do you have any good tips on how
well,
to look
at tonight's game? It's interesting. I think it's probably the most intriguing game of the week, actually. If you think about, you know, the line opens at 7.5 and now it's down to 6. You know, I mean, you just look at who Joe Burrow had flashes of real genius. I mean, and the way he moved the age old white quarterback. Yes, Joe Burrow can move. I just think, I can't get a read, obviously, on the Browns from the 38-6 loss, and so to me it's really intriguing, just because both the total of 43.5 and the 6 points. I actually like the Browns here.
Yeah, bounce back game. Usually when teams get destroyed by 4 touchdowns or more, they come back the following week. More often than not.
But I will tell you that the thing that's a real mind F is that, you know, the original play was, oh, you know, if there's one person who's going to be get nailed from no preseason, it's going to be the rookies. And it's like, then people are like, well, does Joe Burrow like subscribe to that? Like, will Joe Burrow be part of that? Or is he just that good? And so I still think after one game, we don't know. Otherwise, I think this line would be, you know, Cleveland, you know, as a 9-point favorite here.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, a lot of, and 38-6 still fresh in a lot of people's minds too. Darren Revelle, Action Network, joining us on the show. What's happening with the Ravens and the Texans right now, Darren? I know that thing's been hovering around a touchdown all week. I feel like if it's under a touchdown, it's going to be really lopsided to the Ravens. If it goes over a touchdown, if it goes to 7.5, I don't know if it swings over to the Texans, but maybe it backs some people off of the Ravens. I know you tell us. You're with the Action Network.
We are in this scenario where Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes, like when you look at all those games, no matter what number the odds makers put up, it always is getting, it's getting pushed. It's getting pushed 1, 1.5. The over is always getting pushed because whatever number it comes out to, people are just, I mean, I feel like there's a great edge on whoever plays those guys. And listen, you would have lost on taking that the first week, obviously, with the Texans against the Chiefs. But I think that more often than not, remember, it's not like how good they are. It's what the odds makers are throwing up. And obviously the game started at 5 and now it's up to 7. And there, obviously, 7's a big number. I do agree that if that hits 7.5, the Sharps are going to pound it down.
Yeah. Speaking with Darren Revell from the Action Network. Darren, I feel like if there's one thing the city of Houston has done in the sporting world over the last 8-9 months is that we've provided a whole lot of distraction and entertainment, whether it's Bill O'Brien's shenanigans as general manager, whether it's the Astros cheating scandal. And I feel like we're the gift that keeps on giving, because I actually thought of you when I saw that DeAndre Hopkins put up 14 Arizona Cardinals, and just what a great soap opera it continues to be here with our whole saga of the DeAndre Hopkins trade. Because I felt like Darren's enjoying this.
I don't know. I don't. How am I supposed to feel about this? I don't know.
Are you? Is there any part of you, like, when you look at what Bill O'Brien has done as general manager, is there a part of you that thinks, like, hey, you know what? He might be onto something. Maybe every now and then when somebody zigs and everybody else is zagging. Or are you of the opinion that, like, okay, O'Brien's going to go down in flames with this and this DeAndre Hopkins?
Somebody take the wheel.
I just, in general, don't think that the same guy should be holding two positions. I don't, like, or at least this early in his tenure. Like, I don't think in general, like, he's still very early in his tenure. It's not like it's his 15th year. Okay, let's finally give him like, I just think in general, it's a mistake to have the coach do anything but coach. And the only reason why you give them the general manager title is that if they have a hard time dealing with other people, like, that's life. Get a general manager who you get along with, you're on the same page with, and figure out how to make it work. And there should be two different positions. That's where I always stand.
Yeah.
Well, they've tried that twice already, so let's see where
that,
it goes.
That means that you're, you know, an Under Armour Kevin Plank type of guy, that there just can't be anyone over you. And, you know, it although it seems like that's a good thing, that, well, you got to be on the same page as yourself. It's actually a major negative. You're laughing because that's true. Like,
I know,
the reason why you have the same title is so that you can be on the same page with yourself.
It's like a spoiled rich kid who, like, keeps killing the nanny. So all of a sudden you realize, okay, this kid's just gonna have to be locked into a room in the mansion by himself all the time because he can't get along with other people.
Yeah. Same exact thing.
Yeah. Well, back in the day, Sean, you know, when rules weren't so restrictive,
right?
If you're rich enough, you could get away with murdering the help every now
it's
and then.
It's harder now with security cameras and surveillance and things like that. Sure. Yeah, no. And Darren, to be clear, we laugh to keep from crying, just so you know. So,
I know.
Yeah. Darren Revell, Action Network, joining us. So, Darren, along those lines, do you get down on any of these futures, like first head coach to be fired during the season? Seth and I broke that down exhaustively a couple of segments ago.
First head coach to be fired
during the season. Yeah, Adam Gase is the favorite right now at 3-1. Bill O'Brien did make the list. He's all the way down at 9-1. But do you get down on any of those, the futures bets that involve future employment?
No, you usually don't. Who would it be? Yeah, I guess Adam Gase would probably be the one. That I'm looking at, that where there's not much patience.
Yeah. Yeah, Gase, Quinn, Matt Patricia, Doug Marone.
Although 24% of the money is on the Jets at +7. You know, we say that the Sharps are on the Jets. So,
this weekend, yeah.
There you go. At home.
Darren, you do your weekly Fade Revell promotion or your bet on Twitter. And this last week, because Mitchell Trubisky had a good game and because DeAndre Swift dropped that ridiculously easy catch in the end zone, you had to pay up. And this one, frankly, I'm going to be honest with you, Darren, although this was the Fade Revell that I enjoyed the most, I feel like you got off a little bit easy because you just had your kids dump, 24 old-style beers on you?
27,
yeah. It was your kids are adorable, and but frankly, it looked like a lot of fun.
I don't want to offend Old Style because they did send me 4 cases to make this happen. Let's just call it a college beer and say that I believe my eyes burned a little bit more because of the So lack of premium hops.
You know what? And you can't get that smell of college out of you after just one shower.
Yeah,
like a whole lot of bad memories.
Yeah. 35-minute shower.
Yeah.
Wow. So what's the, before we let you go, what's the Fade Revel challenge this week?
You know what? Like I do it, I tell you guys what it is before I shoot. So as long as no one puts, does the whole audience agree not to, no. I will tell you what it is.
Okay.
I am taking the Seahawks this week to cover against the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't, I will be riding on a horse in a Revolutionary War Paul Revere costume, screaming, Bill Belichick and the Patriots are coming.
Oh, Paul Revere action.
And I hate a horse. I haven't been on a horse since I'm 10. So I'm going to be, I do not want to lose this week.
Okay, that's the best way to earn the trust of a horse is to hate it.
Yeah. All right. So for those who want to have the rooting interest in this, it is the line I'm looking at, Darren, is Seahawks -4. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. There you go. Darren Revel, Action Network. Download the free Action Network app. You got to. Football season is here. More and more college football coming back. Darren, we always appreciate the conversation. Good luck this weekend.
You got it. Thanks, right, guys.
Thanks, Darren Revel, joining us on the show. Seth, he gives us breaking news every week. That's it.
He does.
We get an exclusive on what the Fade Revel is every week on the show. That feels pretty cool, actually. Speaking
doesn't
of
this Action Network's doing pretty well, I think.
It's doing very well, and the app is a very cool app.
I'm taking this course on website design and building and everything, Sean, trying to improve myself a little bit. And one thing I've learned is that, like, the price that gambling sites will pay for advertising and everything is crazy high because they make so much money.
Yeah.
So,
this just in, people are not good at gambling by and large.
Yeah.
John Lopez jumps in with us in the loop. Lopez, Landry, Figgy Fig, what's happening?
Oh, man, all kinds of stuff happening. J.J. Watt has a potty mouth.
We talked about that earlier. Bad influence.
Landlocked. You know, when he gets in the lab, that steam starts coming out of his ears. So we're gonna have some fun with that. Also, getting to know your foe. Mm. Real little interesting. Nobody's talking about tidbits about everybody, but I'm interested that Seth actually is studying web design. That is so impressive. I'm not kidding. That's really impressive.
Oh, thanks. There's all this stuff that I don't know in the world, and I'm trying to learn a little sliver of it. There's too much stuff out there.
Is it going to turn into something? Is it going to turn into a SethPayne.com or House
of Payne? It's going to turn into me throwing my computer across the room.
Oh, it's cool.
This is the trouble. It's like all these. I feel like I'm back in a college science class where I've got some super genius nerd telling me how easy and simple something is.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't understand what you're saying. Please slow down. I don't. It doesn't. None of this makes sense to me.
Do you have that programming class I took in college? I'm like, I'm out.
Yeah.
Programmed in BASIC back in the day.
Yeah, I had floppy disks, like literal floppy disks.
So did I.
They actually flopped.
Hey, John, I ain't 28 years old. I had them too. John, we look forward to the show as always. John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig, they are in the loop. Seth, before we jump out here, I got to remind the people to go sign up. You just heard Darren Revel talking about picking games. I've got a really easy way for you to possibly win $10,000 for the whole season, but at least $1,000 a week in a free contest from Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage 2020 Pro Football Pick'em. You just go to radio.com/picks and sign up. It's free to sign up. You're picking against me and a bunch of other hosts around the country. I did terrible the first week. So beating, you could get, I could have a 1 week head start on you and you could still be beating me after this week if I don't do any better. So it's radio.com/picks. Seth, antibodies to you. I will see you tomorrow at 6 a.m., my friend.
Antibodies, T-cells, and an autocorrect that knows where to put an apostrophe to you.
From your lips to God's ears. We are done. Ben Gary.
It would put an apostrophe on ears there.
Sure as hell would.
Freaking stupid autocorrect. Done. Moron.
Yeah, stupid. Stupid troll is what it is. Ben Gary, great job producing. God, this is like pump-up music. This is music you're giving me this on the way out of. I'm going to go beat somebody up in the hallway with this. This is awesome. All right, antibodies.
I'm going to go strangle a barista.
Yeah.
Not the sex act.
Now I got to go to Urban Dictionary and see what strangle a barista means. All right. Antibodies, T-cells to all of you. In the Loop is up next. We'll see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Have a great day, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.